This is the Schnitt Show.
I'm so jealous. I know jealousy is not a good quality. I'm so jealous. My wife is on the way right now to pick up a Frank Pepe pizza in Connecticut. Hello to all of our Connecticut listeners. My wife is, let me see where she is exactly. Yeah, we've got our little tracking software here. We all do. We're all on this Life 360 program. So we know where the kids are. Where's my wife? She is on, I think she was on the interstate just a short time ago. Yeah, where exactly is she? She is approaching, looks like she's approaching West Hartford. Yeah, so yeah, my wife dropped off my son at boarding school. Yeah, she's on 84. She's on Interstate 84, and ooh, she's doing 78 in a 65, I would imagine. Yeah, it tells the speed, too. she was doing 83 a short time ago. Oops. Yeah. Now she's up to 79. 80. Oh, she's at 81 right now. Hey, Michelle, you're on I-84. That's not the speed limit. Back it down. Yeah, so Michelle is on the way to one of the Frank Pepe locations. Yeah, we were at Frank Pepe about 3 weeks ago. We were at the New Haven location, the original one right there on Wooster Street, and it was just fantastic. But, you know, the branches. I've had really, really good Frank Pepe pizzas at the branches, you know, the different locations. I've had a couple of different ones, you know, really good. I thought held up almost as closer, you know, in some cases indistinguishable from the original. You know, they're using the coal-fired oven. And the deal, folks, is this is New Haven pizza. And you know me, I'm a pizza aficionado. Don't mess with me on pizza. I'm going to tell you right, I'm a tough, tough reviewer. The Barstool Sports guy, full of crap. He has no idea what he's talking about. The what do they call him? El Presidente? What's that dude's name? You know, the Barstool Sports guy? He has no idea what he's talking about regarding pizza. You know, he gets lucky every once in a while, but I've seen him give bad scores to some of the best pizza around. I've seen him give good scores to crap. Yeah, I'm sorry, not impressed with El Presidente and his pizza picks. I'm going head-to-head with that guy any day of the week. So, Frank Pepe, it's classic New Haven pizza. And, of course, New Haven, you got Frank Pepe, you've got Sally a pizza, you've got Modern Pizza. Bar has a sort of a different kind of pie. But those are the three well-known New Haven pizza spots. And Frank Pepe, they've built other places around Connecticut and Massachusetts, even down in New York. There's one down in Westchester, which really a good job. So my wife, who is going to hop on a flight out of Hartford, she's going to get pizza first. Oh, but you better bring some home for me, Michelle. You better bring some Frank Pepe home. Yeah, she's going to take a picture, and she's going to send it to me in about 20 minutes to taunt me. Yeah, pizza, folks. Look at my Twitter. If you go to my Twitter profile, at Todd Schnitt, at TODDSCHNITT. Follow me on Twitter, at Todd Schnitt. Follow me on Instagram, at Certified Todd Schnitt. So Twitter is just Todd Schnitt, and then Instagram is at Certified Todd Schnitt. So they had a certified in front. You'll see, at least on my Instagram, lots of pizza pictures. But on my Twitter feed, you've got my profile picture. That's me and my scuba diving crap. But the background picture is a pizza, a Brooklyn, New York pizza coming out of the oven of Giuliana's right under the Brooklyn Bridge. And Giuliana's in Brooklyn is just one hell of a phenomenal coal-fired pie. You know, listen, you've got different kinds of pizza. You have the New York slice, the quintessential New York slice, made in typically a gas-fired oven. A Baker's Pride, a Blodgett oven. You know, there are other good manufacturers out there. Like Joe's on Carmine. I'm trying to think of some of the other great New York's. Joe's on Carmine. You have Ernie in, was it Ernie in the Bronx? I'm slipping on the name. I mean, that's a New York slice. Then you have fantastic Napoli pizza, Neapolitan. You know, it's the wood fired with the, sort of the wet center. And those are the wood-fired pies. They put them in 850-degree ovens. They cook in a minute and 45 seconds, 2 minutes, boom. And I'm a huge fan of a good Neapolitan, a real Napoli pizza. You got to eat those right out of the oven. They don't travel. Well, not a lot of pizza travels, but that's a whole different story. And then you have, so you have the Neapolitan, you've got the New York slice, and then you have coal-fired. And coal-fired is like Frank Pepe. Coal-fired also includes, for me, Patsy's in Harlem. And you don't in, if you're ever in New York, you don't want to go to any of the other Patsy's locations other than the one in Harlem on 1st Avenue and 117th. That's the original. They have the coal-fired oven. You know, Lombardi's again. Lombardi's, for me, is kind of hit and miss. Sometimes you get a fantastic pie. John's on Bleecker. Great coal-fired pie. And then you've got, you know, Detroit style or the square pies. And, you know, and I've had some decent ones as well. But, you know, again, don't. Thank you. Louie and Ernie's. Thank you. Yeah, Sue's like, gee, why did I was like drawing a blank. Yeah, Louie and Ernie's in the Bronx is just a great New York slice. So those are my categories of pizza. And my wife's about to have one of my favorite pizzas on the planet in minutes. And I could have gone with her, but then I would have had a fill-in host today. But I'd be eating pizza right now. from let's see, do the show or eat pizza? What would I like to do? Right, I want to take a moment here before I get into the latest on the border crisis. And this is a making of the, you want to talk about another dumpster fire. You got Hunter Biden on one side. You got the Biden administration and this whole border crisis. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. Folks, it is getting even worse. We thought we were at a horrific tipping point. Oh, it's getting worse. You've got reports of migrant caravans and floods more coming. Holy crap. All right, before I get into that, I got to discuss 60 Minutes from last night. There was an attack on the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. By the way, I've never met Ron DeSantis. I haven't donated any money to his campaign. I don't make political donations. It's just not what I do. I comment. I don't donate. I talk about who I like and who I don't like. But I don't write all kinds of checks. I don't make a bunch of political donations. You know, my donation, if I say something nice about you, that's my donation to your campaign. But I've never met Governor DeSantis. You know, I know people that know him. And I've got, you know, obviously some tight pals that are pretty big in Republican politics in Florida. But I've never met the governor. But what 60 Minutes did to him last night was horrific and egregious. So much that you have Democrats, liberals, coming to his defense. There was a segment last night on 60 Minutes. This is the first segment, the first story on 60 Minutes last night on CBS. And 60 Minutes last night accused Florida Governor Ron DeSantis of scheming a pay-for-play deal in order for public supermarkets, pharmacies, to distribute the COVID-19 vaccine. Or vaccines, depending on if they had all three varieties, This is just grossly unfair. Accusation of pay for play, essentially saying that DeSantis took money from Publix in the form of donations and Publix executives or heirs to Publix in order for Publix to get this exclusive vaccine distribution right. And this is just factually incorrect. And there are accusations of deceptive editing. Accusations? No, I think it's factual because of what was legitimately said by DeSantis and was left out, edited out. You know, if a story is not going to fit your narrative and you leave important portions out of a story because you've got a certain narrative that you want a story to go a certain way, that you want the walk away, the takeaway from the viewer to be, oh man, this governor, he's crooked. Let me tell you what's crooked. 60 Minutes reporting last night on DeSantis in Florida, that was crooked. Even to the point where Democrats are coming to DeSantis's defense. Here's the situation. A lot of the comments for justification for Publix getting the early exclusive deal and the facts were left out of the story. There was a question from reporter Sharon Alfonsi on 60 Minutes about Publix in Palm Beach County, for instance, getting exclusive rights to distribute the COVID-19 vaccine or vaccines. And one of the statements that 60 Minutes conveniently left out was that DeSantis said on why Publix got the deal. Well, there are multiple reasons here. The reason why Publix got the deal, one of the reasons that DeSantis said, and this is on tape, just 60 Minutes decided not to use this, and this is important, this is crucial, is that 90% of Florida senior citizens live within a mile and a half of a Publix location. And also that Publix, when the state of Florida was floating it on, listen, we need distribution, we need storefronts, we need a lot of places around the state of Florida to administer the vaccine, Publix was also among the first to say, we'll do it. DeSantis said that Publix was the first to raise their hand. Did they use that in? No. 60 Minutes cut that out as well. So not only the fact that an overwhelming 90% of senior citizens in Florida live within a mile and a half of a Publix, and that Publix was the first to raise their hand in order to help in the participation process, and that's left out, that's really criminal journalism right there. That is awful. Walgreens and CVS, also, they're ubiquitous. They're all over the place as well. But the story there is that Walgreens and CVS, in the early rollout, they were more focused on nursing home vaccinations. They were focused on long-term care facilities and nursing homes. So three major things about Publix being first to raise their hand. Publix are all over the state of Florida and, again, very, very close to the bulk of the senior citizens in the state. And the other companies, CVS and Walgreens, again, on every single corner, they were focused on taking care of the senior population in other areas. Can you believe this? Wait a minute. It gets even worse here. You've got a guy by the name of Jared Moskowitz. He's the Florida Division of Emergency Management Director. This guy's a Democrat, right? He served three terms in the Florida House as a Democrat, and he called the 60 Minutes piece last night, quote, absolute malarkey. He put that on Twitter. And he said that Publix was recommended because other pharmacy companies were not ready to start also. And then, listen to this. Then you have the Palm Beach County Mayor, Dave Koerner, and he put up a statement on the county website for Palm Beach County, a liberal Democratic bastion, a blue county, as blue as can be in the state of Florida. This Democrat comes to the defense of DeSantis as well. And he wrote that 60 Minutes' reporting was, quote, not just based on bad information, was intentionally false. This guy goes on to write that he offered to speak on camera with 60 Minutes. And when they didn't want to take him up on that, he sent them information that they did not use. They left, listen to this, quote, this Democrat, Mayor Palm Beach County, says that 60 Minutes deliberately left the information out because it kneecaps their narrative. Quote, they know that the governor came to Palm Beach County and met with me and county administrators, or am the county administrator, and we asked to expand the state's partnership with Publix to Palm Beach County. We also discussed our own local plans to expand mass vaccination centers throughout the county. which the governor has been incredibly supportive. Kerner, Democrat, mayor, Palm Beach County, goes on to say, 60 Minutes should be ashamed, ashamed for being part of a media environment that was making the pandemic worse by being hell-bent on dividing us for cheap views and clicks. And, of course, eyeballs on 60 Minutes last night on CBS. Hey, 60 Minutes, Sharon Alfonsi, are you going to do a correction? Are you going to come back next week with a mea culpa? Are you going to say we apologize to Governor DeSantis in Florida because we omitted extremely relevant and pertinent information that gives a whole different narrative to the story, the real story, and even Democrats are backing up DeSantis? Holy schnit. What a hack job. What bad journalism from 60 Minutes. Unbelievable. More schnit. The border issue next.
This is schnit.
The border issue is getting worse and worse. Reports of more kids, more illegals making a run for the border. Not talking about Taco Bell here, folks. You know, we'll give you the latest, though. A record number, by the way, of kids in March. Back in a minute. Hang on.
Now you can listen to
Schnit.
Oh boy, and then we hear from like government officials in Mexico and in Honduras and Guatemala that more folks are on the run. That why can't you stop them? How about operating like a country and stop these folks from coming across borders? Where the hell is Mexico on this? Jeez. Welcome back to Schnit. 800-801-8999. By the way, my wife said the pizza was amazing. She ate half the pie. I just posted it on my Instagram and my Twitter. You want to see the amazing Frank Pepe pizza my wife just had outside of Hartford? Yeah, go to my Twitter feed. At Todd Schnit. Or my Instagram feed at Certified Todd Schnit. Man, this pizza looks fantastic. She said, I just spoke to her during the break. She was like, oh, man, it was great. She said, indistinguishable from Wooster Street. And we're tough. My wife, I've certified her as a professional pizza pro critic. So if she says that it was just as good as Wooster, then she's right. It was the, I guess, West Hartford location. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so jealous. She ate half the pie. She better bring the other half back for me. That's all I can say. All right, we have the border crisis continuing here. Folks, you want to get in, 800-801-8999. I haven't even taken any phone calls today. I just haven't had a time. I mean, I've been going a mile a minute here. 800, actually faster, because a mile a minute would be, 60 miles an hour. I'm doing about 120 right now. All right, so we're doing a mile much quicker than a minute. All right, 800-801-8999 gets you on if you ever want to comment, question, add to the story, agree with me, disagree with me. And now we have more information, more data. It's in. Here we are. It's April 5th. And new data is in. record number of kidlets crossed the border back in March. Yeah. President Biden loves to go to the microphone and talk about records that have been set during his first 100 days in office. You know, everything from vaccines to stimulus checks. Right, Joe? Loves to brag about the numbers and the records. Well, Joe, if you could get out of that Joma, that's the Joe coma, that's called a Joma. Yeah, President Biden, could you brag about this one? How about some more numbers for the record books? Another record for President Biden. A record number of unaccompanied minors crossed into the United States in March. Crossed the southern border. Yeah, yeah. The number of just unaccompanied minors crossing the border last month in a single month exceeded 18,500 kids. What the... I mean, where are these? Well, we know where the kids are coming from, you know, Honduras, Guatemala, and even some Mexican kids. And that's only according to the preliminary Customs and Border Protection data. I'm sure the number is going to go up. That number is probably going to go even higher when all the numbers are fully tabulated. When all the numbers are in from the Smartmatic and Dominion voting systems counting machines. Really? You got to be kidding me here. But even 18,500 smashes the previous all-time record. The March total is at least 60% higher than the previous record of 11,494 kids in May of 2019. And the figures go back to 2010, when the Border Patrol first began keeping track of how many migrants arrived as unaccompanied minors. You've got at least 18,500 kids. That's not including the adults. That's not including the full families that came. My God, this number is out of control. And the dramatic, disturbing, horrific increase follows Joe Biden's administration's policy of turning back migrants except minors who come alone. And that's the message that's out there. We're not turning back the kids. Hey, Joe Biden is even in multiple interviews saying, we can't turn back the kids. That is an open invitation. You might as well just get on the biggest bullhorn able to be heard all the way through Mexico and into the Northern Triangle. And you might as well just say, President Biden, hey, kids, everybody, come. It's a party. We're having a carnival. Free toys and cotton candy for all kids from Guatemala and Honduras. Mexico, come on down. It's insane. And the result has been, again, thousands of kids held in these overcrowded Border Patrol stations far beyond the 72-hour legal limit. So that's the story with the kids that are crossing alone. Overall, the picture with other individuals, it's not much better. Overall encounters with migrants of all ages attempting to cross into the United States illegally into our country has reached a 20-year high. In March, a 20-year high was set. Yeah, just as Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas had predicted. That's right. He predicted this, and guess what? It's coming true. Yeah, according to the preliminary data, 170,000 attempted to cross. Yeah, most adults, however, were turned back under Title 42. It's a CDC authority. Both the Trump and Biden administration have used to block migration during the COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah, the previous high, by the way, was set way back in March of 2001 when 172,849 migrants were apprehended by Border Patrol. Let me put this into just a little bit of a different context. You have to go back before 9/11 to see border crossings as high as they were last month in March. But President Biden won't say that there's a problem at the border. He won't say there's a crisis. He won't say there's an emergency. Come on, Joe, get out of that Joe coma. Get out of that Joma. Hashtag Joma. J-O-E-M-A. It's a Joma. Is there a DNR on him, by the way? Sorry. Jen Psaki also. Jen Psaki will not admit that this is an emergency, that this is a crisis. Of course, Jen Psaki is the press secretary. And at one of Joe Biden's events, yeah, his one and only press conference, what was that, a week ago or so? He told reporters, quote, "The truth of the matter is nothing has changed. It happens every single solitary year. There is a significant increase in the number of people coming to the border in the winter months of January, February, March. That happens every year." Holy schnit. Folks, yeah. The seasonal increases happen every year because the trip is easier to make before the summer heat arrives. But Biden cannot keep hiding behind that. The numbers are greater than ever. He cannot keep denying that the crossings of the kids are at an all-time high and that overall attempts to cross the border are, as his own Department of Homeland Security chief admits, at a 20-year high. 20 año. Why does Biden think he can outrun reality? Seriously, why? Why does Joe Biden think that he can stretch, outrun reality? Why does he think that he can outrun the facts? Man, he can't even climb stairs, let alone outrun the facts. Jesus. At 800-801-8999. That's how you get in on Schnitt. 800-801-8999. Agree, disagree, ever bring something new to the table? 800-801-8999 as the Schnitt rolls on next.
This is Schnitt. Schnitt Show.
Yeah, we'll get into the latest on Matt Gaetz, and there is more that we'll get into. And there's only a few really coming to Matt Gaetz' defense. Most Republicans are standing back because they know this thing's going to blow. I do believe. All right, so we'll get into that coming up in just a bit. AOC, what kind of track record does AOC have? Well, we'll give you the stats. We'll give you the details in just a bit. And then this is a very interesting story. There's a report that one of Fox News' top lawyers regularly attacks Trump in private. Interesting. That's coming up in just a bit. Hey, speaking of the border, a couple of additional things here. And I saw this over the weekend that Senator Barrasso was apparently told that he had to delete border photos. Yeah, Senator John Barrasso is one of the senators from the state of Wyoming. And Barrasso said on Sunday Morning Futures that Republican senators were told by officials that they had to delete pictures of the border facilities that they photographed. Now, John Barrasso is, the third-ranking Republican in the Senate. Number three. And he said that he was instructed that he had to delete these pictures of migrant facilities at the U.S.-Mexican border. And remember that Barrasso has claimed that children at these facilities were packed in like sardines. Yeah, Barrasso said this is both a humanitarian crisis and a national security crisis. That was Barrasso saying that on Fox News. Yeah, he was on Sunday Morning Futures, and he said that Republican senators were instructed by officials at the border, you have to delete the pictures that you took during a recent visit that U.S. senators made to the border to see what was going on. We were, quote, we were told to delete the pictures. He said no one did. You've seen the video coming out of all these kids crammed together under these Mylar foil-looking blankets. All these kids crammed and jammed and all huddled together. And of course, as I've just gone over, the numbers of kids coming and flooding our border are at record numbers, and they are jammed and crammed like they're canned sardines. Barrasso said this is what the Biden administration is trying to hide from the American public. He also said that U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials are only testing migrant kids for COVID-19. When they leave the facilities for these other government-run centers. So what you have is the claim from Barrasso that only the kids, only the migrant kids are being tested when they leave. That's when they leave the original border protection holding facilities to be moved to these other places. What, like the Dallas Convention Center? Didn't they run off like the boat show or something to house the kids? The Home and Garden Show has been moved because we got all these kids in there. Yeah, so they're testing these kids when they leave to go to these other, you know, government-run facilities. Yeah, so they are being tested when they leave, not when they arrive. So with all these kids crammed together in the original facility, they could be spreading COVID-19 all over the freaking place. Barrasso said they don't do an instant test. And then those that have been tested positive are just kind of moved to one side of the courtyard. Those negative are moved to the other side of the courtyard. They've all been exposed. Barrasso says, quote, they've all been exposed. And then they're sent all across the country. You know, that is the real tragedy of this, is what he said. And we're not sure what variant of the coronavirus that these kids are carrying. And they're carrying it through all around America, is what Barrasso said. So it's more than just the tens and tens of thousands of kids here. Now, this extends to public health crisis mode because we've got kids that are testing positive. But you have kids that were exposed that are testing negative for the moment. So they've all been together, and then they're being segregated. Okay, you go over here, you go over here. When they've all most likely been exposed. And then they're moving them out. Wow. All right, when we get back, we've got hour number three on tap. More from the crazy Matt Gaetz story. AOC is a ineffective punk. Coming up.